Welcome to the Property Profits Podcast. My name is Travis Wells, and I will be your host every single week. It is my job to bring on a specialist in every part of real estate, whether that be retail, big commercial, luxury, flipping, land, you name it. I cannot wait to introduce you to these people because there are masters at their craft out there. At the end of each podcast, my mastermind group will come on and Q&A with these people and ask real-time, real-life questions so that we can all learn. I cannot wait to see you on my podcast.
What is up, y'all? Thank y'all again for jumping on, tuning in, listening to Property Profits today. I am going to be yapping to you one more time, one-on-one. And today I want to talk about flipping, getting into flipping, essentials of flipping, all that good stuff. There's all different strategies in real estate. And today we are talking about flipping. So if you are wanting to get into the flip business, I'm going to lay out the guidelines right here from what I know. All right. When you want to start looking for deals, link up with local wholesalers. There's not a ton of badass ones, but there are good ones just like in any profession, any industry. So go to your local RIAs, go to your local Facebook groups. If, you know, there's particular counties that you're interested in, like for one, say it's Corpus Christi, right? I'm just saying that's Nueces County. Go to Nueces County, real estate investors, type that in Facebook, join all their freaking Facebook groups. All right, look who's posting the most deals and link up with those people. All right, unless you want to get marketing and get in all that, pay for all that. But first, I would just get with local wholesalers, find out the best ones. Also, scan your local MLS. All right, you don't need to go out and spend this fancy marketing budget starting out because you're going to have to learn what you're doing. You're going to have to go through the steps of learning. So I would just link up these two ways. That being said, all right, now you're going to scan the MLS for deals, right? Filter it to deals that have been on the market for quite a while. Filter the price range that you're comfortable with, you know, up to $200,000, whatever it is. All right, then you're going to call the agents or the owners, and you're going to make them offers. How are you going to get those offers? Typical formula is 70% ARV minus repairs. Don't complicate this. Don't waver. Make sure the numbers match the formula. All right. And what I mean by 70% ARV is you're going to have comps ran. You're going to look at comps. You can go to Redfin. All right. If there's an address, type that address in Redfin. Find three sold comps with similar square footage that look like that house. Divide that number. That's a decent ARV. And also see what, you know, that property would sell for in its, you know, condition, its current condition. You can find properties on market just like that also. You're not going to have the best luck on the MLS, but there are deals to be made on the MLS. So you can call the owner. You can call the agent. Do your homework before you call them. Find out what you think the ARV is after repair value. ARV is after repair value. So after a property is repaired, and there's levels to that, all right? You can over repair a property, but when I say after repair value, repaired, comparable to the comps that you're comparing it against, all right? So let's say it's $100,000. This is a low property, but I'm just saying this for easy math because I'm not pulling the calculator out. Let's say ARV is $100,000. You're going to do 70% of that. So you're going to get it multiply times 70%. You're going to get it for $70,000. All right. It needs $30,000 in repairs. You're going to be at $40,000 to make $100,000 in the grand scheme of things after you put that rehab in there. That's it. Don't waver. A lot of times you're going to be like, well, maybe it's $120,000 or $130,000 and maybe I can get the rehab at less. Look, don't go less with the rehab. Actually add a 30% factor on that. I've talked about that before, but add a 20 to 30% factor on that. I've told you that before, and it's very good advice that I've gotten from people coming up and buddies and whatever. It works. I've flipped a lot of property. All right. And it depends. Like, what kind of property do you want to flip? Do you want to flip low end, you know, high end, whatever? It doesn't matter. Then you're saying, man, how am I going to get the money? This is $100,000 total, you know, and I'm going to buy it for, you know, 70% minus repairs. I'm buying for 30, but then I'm going to need rehab money too. So what you're going to do is you're going to find private money. That's what I would do to start off. All right. Think about any of your family and friends that would invest in you. Think about that first. You probably have family or friends that would invest in you. Hey, I'll give you a 10% interest rate, you know, every month on this money. I need purchase price plus repairs. This is, you know, what I'm looking at. Or partner with somebody. If you don't have a lender, you could partner with somebody that has money that might have 30, 40, 50 in the bank, whatever, that would want to spend that. And you find the deal, you do the legwork, they be the money partner. So you can do a very successful partnership that way. Don't just get into a partnership because you're like, man, I'm scared to do this on my own. If you get into a partnership, it better be because the other person has something that you don't. All right. I know a lot of people that get into this, they're like, we're going to flip houses and we're going to partner up. Okay, cool. What strengths do you have? Well, we've never done real estate and they don't have any money. What strengths do you have? Same. How does that make sense? Is one person super smart and the other not? Like, one person has to have something the other doesn't for a good partnership that'll complement each other. All right. And I want to reiterate this one more time. When you are doing flips, overprice the budget. Don't steer away from the formula. 70% ARV minus repairs. All right. And we've went over what the wholesaling formula is. You would just subtract that. If you wanted to make 20K, it'd be 70% ARV minus repairs minus your wholesale fee. But this is talking about flips. All right. Also, you can get an unsecured credit line for $40,000 or $50,000 at a lot of credit unions if you go and talk to them. If you've got good credit and you just want that as a backup, but if you've got good credit, you can get an unsecured credit line. Not a lot of people talk about that. I know one bank that does is Amegy Bank. You know, they'll give you an unsecured credit line if you've got good credit and a good job. Good work history, whatever. They're going to make you do all the financial stuff, but it's cool to have that credit line because crap does happen when you do rentals. All right. So I want you to plan for the worst whenever you're doing rentals. But starting out, you're going to have to analyze a lot of deals. You're going to have to make lots of offers. So I highly suggest not jumping the gun, finding a deal that makes sense. I don't care if it takes you 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, just as long as you're not procrastinating. You make 10 to 20 offers every single day and you will find a deal. You've got to have thick skin in this business because a lot of people are going to tell you to screw off. We're not selling for that. We can get this. This house sold for this. My house is a pot of gold, whatever. Keep going. It's a numbers game. You're going to do deals. Here's another thing in flips that you need to do. All right. So now you found the property, you found the money, the partner, whatever. All right. Everything's hunky dory. You're going to close. Cool. You close your flip. Now what? So while you were in the process of doing this, you were getting contractor estimates to get the bid, you know, estimates and things like that. So before you pay for any work, you're going to do a scope of work. You're going to do a line item cost sheet. When this person's going to get paid, how much you're going to get paid for each thing that needs to be done, and stay on that schedule. And I'm telling you this because I did not do this for most of my career, you know, and I learned the hard way. I lost a lot of money this way. I would just pay people when they were done. And that was all, a lot of it was virtual. They were sending me pictures, video footage, stuff like that. I'd pay people. And later on, I was like, man, this is a crap job. Hindsight, right? Now I know. Have them do a scope of work, all right? And when you draw that scope of work up, it's going to say, you know, this is the total budget, whatever. It's $40,000. All right, bathroom, $3,500. Second bathroom, $3,500. You know, flooring, $5,000. You know, whatever. Boom, boom, boom. Dates to be completed. Here's another nugget. Incentive. you know, a couple hundred dollar incentive if you finish before this date, you know, whatever. It sort of keeps people on track, because the thing is contractors want to make money just like you, right? They might have multiple projects. They might be very good and they schedule their stuff accordingly, but things happen. Whose job do you think they're going to work on that day if they got two in a day and something happened? The one they're going to make more money on, they're incentivized to make more money on. So if you have incentives in that scope of work for them to hit their deadlines, you might get the leg up. So also never, ever pay a contractor before the work is done. Make sure you get it inspected. I have done this over and over again, so I want you to learn from my mistakes. And I want you to check the work. And if you don't know what you're looking at, have a professional check the work. Pay an inspector to check the work for you to make sure it's done. It's better to pay insurance up front instead of losing money and having to keep paying more and more money for more rehab. All right. So you've got the rehab budget. You've got all this stuff done. Now you got to manage these contractors. So if you aren't local, you need somebody local checking in on these people once a week, twice a week, three times, whatever your comfort level is, just to make sure everything's going good. You need boots on the ground to go to your properties. Now, I'm telling you this because I've done a lot of virtual stuff and I have not done this a lot of times, but it has bitten me a lot. I've gotten away with it a lot, but it's bitten me also. So I really highly suggest you finding a, you know, somebody boots on the ground. There's courier services, landmen, or, you know, handymen, stuff like that that'll do this. Not to say you can't trust the contractors that you hire. You just, it doesn't hurt to have a second set of eyes. I'm doing a project in Odom, Texas right now, and I've got boots on the ground. This lady puts 3-day notices up for us for rentals, does odds and ends. She did a video walkthrough of a house for me before the contractor starts, so we can do a schedule of work line item itemization, because I hadn't seen the inside of this house. So she went and took a video for me, everything she saw. And my assistant wrote this up, right? So now we had this line item thing, and we can agree on it with the contractor. All right, so now you've done the work, right? Yeah, hopefully you're on budget, but most of the time you're going to be over it. So plan on being over budget. Plan on that. And if you're not, fantastic. So you bought that. You found the house. You bought the house. You did the work. You got through it. Congratulations. Now you got to sell it. All right. So you're going to pick the best realtor in the area for that type of property. If they sell that price range of property in that area, interview them, see what they think about the property, see what their availability is, and see how they communicate. Like, make sure y'all jive and make sure that they're accessible whenever you reach out to them. Some people are just so busy, they might not be the best fit. They might be very knowledgeable, but they're not going to be the best fit for you. Lastly, you're going to sell that sucker. And hopefully you built a whole team in this process and you can scale your flipping business. Thank you so much for joining me today on Property Profits, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please refer a friend. It would mean the world to me. And also, if you'd like to learn more about real estate investing, go to www.exclusivehousinginvestors.com. If you're interested in joining the mastermind group, email me at travis@exclusivehousingtexas.com.